for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. For with His blood He has saved me, and with His power just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And if I gain any grace, let it go to Calvary. For with His blood He has saved me, and with His power praise me. To God be the glory for the things He hath done.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, it is a joy. How many of you can say amen? You guys. Okay. Let's practice a little bit. All right, when I put my hand to my ear, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Now, you're catching on pretty good. Let's try it one more time.
Amen.
Very good. Very good. You're alert, and the world needs more alerts.
That's right.
Be alert. It has been good. My, from the very first message last night, throughout the evening and today, the messages have been powerful, just powerful, helpful, encouraging, convicting. I want so much for us to get what God has for us. Yes, I know it's a youth conference. Let me tell you, the same Word of God that's for you is also for me. And it may be that our churches would experience revival if we had revival in our youth workers, our church staff, our deacon boards, Sunday school teachers. Sometimes we wonder why the kids act as they do. And apples don't fall far from the tree. Every one of us listen tonight. God's men are going to preach to us the Word of God. And when the man of God stands up preaching the Word of God, realize it's God speaking to us. Okay? I want to hear Him tonight. Brother Mike Johnson from Shasta Baptist Church in Redding, California. Such a mild, sweet, kind individual. I think he's been sniffing too much smoke in California myself. He's telling how that the marijuana fields in the woods have been burning also, and half of California's gathered around the fire sniffing. Volunteers are standing up and saying, we'll go fight fires. I want that one. Listen, if you will, tonight. What a great job Brother Mike Johnson has. He's been mightily used of God. And if you'll listen, you'll get something from his message. And if you don't listen, you better be careful, because you'll ought to get a songbook.
Right?
Thank you, bud. Thank you, Brother Smith. Let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this evening. I'm the first preacher, so that's my job is, I was preaching in a meeting once with a black preacher preached ahead of me. I'd never met him before. Stopped, shook his hand before the service started. He said, now I'm preaching first tonight. You're preaching second, right? And I said, yes, sir, that's right. And he goes, good. I'm going to lay down a bunt and get out the way. And so that's what I'm here to do tonight. I'm going to lay down a bunt and get out of the way so Brother Reed can get up here and preach. I'm going to give you something really simple and practical tonight, give you a couple thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 31. Would you stand with me as we read this one verse this evening? I'm not going to have you move around in your Bibles a lot, though I will. I'll just ask you to catch the reference, write that down real quickly. I'll ask you to scratch. Now tonight I want you to scratch a few thoughts down this evening, just because this is a practical type message. And I want you to take a few notes, write a few things down this evening of what I'll give you, just the simple points, because I want to talk to you on the subject of things we need to do every day in our life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to read the last three words with me. Now ready? I die. There it is. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight. Be with us this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Thank you that you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think in our lives. Oh Lord, tonight be with us, please. Direct and guide in what's said and done. I pray you use this message to springboard to Brother Reed and his message, but to help us all tonight, Father. Everyone, may we have ears to hear for ourselves tonight, and receive that which you have from us from the Word of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Aren't you glad there's 24 hours in a day and no more? These people who say, boy, I just wish there was more hours in a day. I want to slap them. I say, man, are you stinking nuts? Give me a break, man. 24 hours is enough. That's all. Please don't make it a 30-hour and 40-hour day. 24 hours is enough. People, listen to me. Do you realize that God made our lives to revolve around a 24-hour day? He did. Sun went up, sun went down. That's been a day. It's been going on like that for thousands of years now. God made our life to revolve around a 24-hour day because he meant for us to take the day that he has given us, that one day, wring all the life you can out of that one day, give it the best shot you got that one day, and get up tomorrow and try it again. You know how you conquer bad habits and establish good habits in your life? One day at a time. 24 hours at a time. You got something in your life that's not right, all you got to do is whip it for 24 hours. That's all you got to do with the grace and the help of God. Just knock it down for 24 hours and get up tomorrow and do it again. And then put that with another 24 and another 24. But don't look at it like a lifetime initially. Just look at it like I got to just do the right thing today. That's what I got to do today. I got to just today give it the best shot I got today. You know, a spiritual Christian is just somebody who put a whole bunch of 24-hour days together. That's all. They just got him and said, you know what? Today I'm reading my Bible. Today I'm walking with God today. Today I'm going to get in the Bible. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to get my heart right with God. I'm going to give it my best shot. And they put that day with another day and another day. Faithful Christians who've been faithful to God for years did it one day at a time. Now look here. See, you have the same amount of hours in your day, the same amount of minutes in your day as anybody else on this planet. That 24-hour day, that's a great equalizer. I don't care what kind of talent you have, what type of abilities you have. I don't care what you lack. You've got 24 hours to give it a shot, do the best you can for that 24 hours, and get up tomorrow and try it again. Now, the principle of daily in our lives is a powerful principle in the Bible. And I find in the Word of God there are several things that God would have us to do every day. And we read the first one now in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31. Every day we need to die to self. Every day we need to die to self. That's the first thing, dying to self. And who's saying this in 1 Corinthians 15, 31? One of the greatest Christians ever put on shoe leather, the Apostle Paul. And he said, I die daily. Now that's what some of you young people do. You must, because how do you sleep 14 hours? You've got to be dead. I couldn't tell you the last time I slept more than 5-6 hours in a row. I can't remember the last time I slept more than 5 or 6. If you sleep 8 hours a day, you spend 1/3 of your life unconscious. Think about that. Now, for some of you, that's no big deal because you haven't got a life anyway. When people tell you, go get a life, you don't even know where to go start looking, much less find one. But the truth is, when I go to bed at night, I die. I do. I lay down 10 toes toward heaven. It is over. Sayonara, sucker. I am out of here. I am gone. I keep a gun beside the bed. Keep two of them beside the bed. One in the closet, one in the front room. I trust the Lord to take care of me just in case he's not looking. I am completely ready. But I don't know why. You could run a herd of rhinos through the bedroom. I would know it. Now, my wife is absolutely the lightest sleeper you could possibly imagine. I should teach her how to shoot better. Except I'm afraid she'd shoot me, but she'll hear things. One night she woke me up in the middle of the night. She said, honey, she said, there's a dog outside the window breathing. And we don't even have a dog. I'm there. I'm gone. I'm in the third heaven. I'm up there with the apostles and everybody else. I said, what did you say? She said, I hear a dog. He's outside the window of our bedroom and he's breathing. She woke me up one night and said, honey, I said, what? She said, you're breathing. I said, yeah, I know. It's a bad habit I picked up when I was a kid and I can't seem to shake it. What do you mean I'm breathing? Don't wake me up again and tell me I'm breathing. She made me get up and go outside and try to make this breathing dog. There wasn't even a breathing dog out there. She wakes me up one night and she says, he's in the front room. Well, I was awake then. God, I've got my Glock 9. I was ready to go now. In my pajamas, which I got on right now. I'm going down the hallway. Looking for somebody in the front room. Somebody's in the front room. Now I go down. We had a bedroom. We had the bedroom. There was an addition to the house we were living in at the time. And the bedroom, we had to go to another bedroom to get to the hallway. Our son was in that room, and I cleared that room. Looked in, he's fine. Walked down the hallway. Down the hallway like this. Went to the other room, opened the kid's room. Looked in there, the other kid's room. Looked in there. Down to the bathroom. They always hide in the bathroom. Lift the lid. Nope. Back toward the kitchen. Nobody in there. We're back in the front room. Nobody in there. There was nobody in the house. Walk back in the bedroom. She's sound asleep. She's talking in her sleep. Stood there with a gun and went. I sleep at night. I sleep the sleep of the dead. People come to me and say, preacher, I can't sleep at night. What do I do? I say, I have absolutely no idea what to tell you on that. Maybe there's pills or something that work, but I don't need any pills. My problem is staying awake. That's what my problem is. I die, but that's not the kind of die he's talking about here. He's talking about the death where you die to yourself and your selfishness. Now look at me. We got way too many thin-skinned Christians. Way too many thin-skinned Christians who got the poochy lip disease. You're still pouting over something that happened a long time ago in your life. Now, we addressed this last night in the so what principle. I'm not going to re-resurrect that thought tonight. But the truth of the matter is the fact that our feelings are so easily hurt and we are so easily offended and we carry it around for so long. It's because we don't die to ourselves. If you died, you can't offend a dead man. Did you know that? Go over here to a seminary. A seminary. Well, that's the same thing. In fact, there's more life in cemeteries than most seminaries that I know, but go over here to the cemetery and salt gravestones. See how much offense you get out of them people. Go ahead. Walk up to them, tell them, you're dead. You got an ugly grave too. People put them up nasty plastic flowers on here. I mean, go ahead and insult them. You get no response because you can't insult a dead man. Can't offend a dead man. Can't do anything to hurt a dead man. See, if we die to self, We can live unto God. Dying, but you can't do that once. That's not a decision you make. That's a process you must apply to your life. You get offended with someone. You get your nose out of joint with somebody. You got a problem within your family. You got a problem within your church. You got a problem within your youth group. It's not about people and their personalities. Stop playing Dr. Phil. Sitting around examining what the problem is. The problem isn't what people do or do not do. The problem is I'm not dead enough to myself so it doesn't offend me or bother me. Because you can't offend a dead man. Poor woe is me and my poor past. Well, Pastor Johnson, you talk about your past. Do you know when I talk about my past or when I think about my past? When I'm preaching. I use it as illustration to help people to identify with me and me to identify with people. But you look at me, pal, and you hear me very carefully. I don't waste 5 seconds of my day sitting around thinking about what my life was, wasn't, could have been, should have been, would have been, ought to have been, could have been, couldn't have happened, and I'm running out of parts on that thing. The truth is, I don't give a flip about what used to be because the past is the past, and I'm dead to myself and my past and my life, and it's gone. The reason you can't get things out of your life is because you don't die to self. You got an active, carnal, fleshly kind of living. Sit there in front of that stupid television set and feed yourself with the filth and the garbage of this world and wonder why you got problems. Because you can't turn it off. You can't get rid of video games. And you know why you can't get rid of video games? Because you're addicted, pal, and we ain't got a patch for those. Might as well get Christian teenagers and some of you adults who need to grow up. I said grow up. How sad is it to see a grown man sitting in front of a television set trying to rip the spinal column out of some goon on a video game? May I use a teenage expression? Dude, what is wrong with you? Last time I played video games, it was Atari. Brother Reed was talking about that. Pong. Bing, bong. Last time I played, you know why I quit? Found myself at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get to the next level. Sweating. Mouth dried out. Hadn't been in the bathroom in 9 hours. About to bust. I'm just sitting there. I had to get to the next level. It's like watching a reenactment of the Maniac of Gadara when I threw that stupid thing in the trash can. Good grief. It's not about how powerful the world is. It's about how dead I am to myself and my selfishness. I die to self. Listen now, but you got to do that every day. Every day you got to get out of bed and remind you that it's not about you. It's not about your life. It's not about your wishes. It's not about your wants. It's not about what happens. It's not about what happened. And die to self. You know why? Because when you die to self, you can live unto God. You can be raised in the likeness of Jesus Christ. But not till you die to self. Number two thing we got to do every day. We're going to turn to the passage. You know it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now you understand the principle. When they brought an animal to the Old Testament tabernacle or to the temple and the animal was offered, it's a one-time situation. Animal was brought, throat was cut, blood was shed, body was burnt, animal could be given once. A living sacrifice could be given over and over and over and over and over again. Now that's a daily thing. That's not from conference to camp to the next youth activity from Sunday to Sunday. That's every day of your life. You need to get out of bed, die to self, and yield yourself to God. Look at me, people. Listen to me. I'm yielded to the Lord tonight as best as I know how. I believe, and God didn't get much when he got this deal, I believe God has everything he could have of me of my life. There's anything I have God can't have. I'm yielded everything I know to God. I give it all to God. That wasn't one time when I was a teenager in a camp either. That's this morning. That will be tomorrow morning, and that will be every morning for the rest of my life by the grace of God. Yieldedness to God. See, some of you, you've never done the yieldedness thing to God. Now, you've yielded to God, but you've never yielded everything to God. You've never given him everything he paid for. Honestly, you kind of did the Hyde principle. You know, you gave a little bit to God, but not everything. So for some of you, it's yielding to God anew. You've never really yielded completely to the Lord ever. You fear that. You think something bad's going to happen to you. Something's going to be taken away from you. Now, if you're taking notes on what I'm talking about, that's good. If you're taking notes and writing them back and forth between each other, I'm going to come back there and you and I are going to have an issue. I don't do issue. You need to yield to God anew. Some of us. Some of us, we need to yield to God again. See, we did that thing at camp once, and we did that thing at a youth meeting once, and we did that. Then something happened, and we took it back. Trouble with a living sacrifice is you can either give it or not, or you can take it back if you like. That's not His intention. That's not what God meant for you to do when He said, offer yourself a living sacrifice. He meant for you to give yourself to God and keep giving yourself to God. Have you taken back what you yielded to God? I did that once. No. A living sacrifice. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, for the rest of the days of my life, yield yourself to God every day and offer yourself to Him. But so for some of us tonight, that's not an issue. We just need to remind ourselves every day, get out of bed, and not, you know, some Catholic, Swami, Salami, all you boys in the army, all you guys off the grass, not that kind of junk. I mean, you get out of bed in the morning and you say, Dear Lord, today, by the grace of God, from the top of my head to the sole of my smelly feet, you got everything you paid for. And yield yourself to God over and over. And it's an attitude as well as an action. It's the desire of my heart. Dear Lord, I give myself to You today. I want today to be Your day, God. Oh, search me, oh God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. No, Lord God, today do something in my life today that matters for You and for eternity. I owe You everything in my life. I yield myself to Thee today. Every day. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. When you want to and when you don't want to. Yield yourself to God. Number three, things we need to do every day. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us this. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man it speaks of there is talking about your spirit needing to be renewed every day. Now that's not the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't get any more of the Holy Spirit than you got when you got saved. God didn't give you a down payment on the Holy Spirit. You got the whole bucket, pal. You got all of the Spirit of God living inside of you. It's how much of Him, how much of you does He have that makes the difference after that. But when it talks about your spirit being renewed, it's talking about a lowercase s spirit. That's talking about, look at me, it's talking about your attitude. Your attitude. Now see, I can get a bad attitude real quick. When I tell young ladies don't write notes and goof off while I'm preaching, they keep doing that, I get a bad attitude. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 rows back here in the middle. And I get a real bad attitude. But not near as bad as one morning. I got up. I read my Bible. I prayed. I spent time with the Lord. I got God all over me for that morning. I left. I was singing every good hymn you could think of. Made up a couple on the way. Now I'm riding to work. Rejoicing in the Lord. Not the property and buildings we have now. Previous buildings. Pull in the parking lot. Get out of my car. Got my briefcase. Started to head toward the office. Looked over in the back of the parking lot. And there's a van sitting over there. Guy leaned up against the van smoking a cigarette. I thought, is that one of my deacons? No, Southern Baptist Church. I look over there and I go, huh, who is that guy? So I walk back there. And I look out there in the play field, our grass play field area, is a woman out there walking, running with a dog running around in the play field. Ugly dog. Poodle. All poodles are ugly. Forgive me, you poodle owners. This one, any dog under 100 pounds ain't worth having anyhow. You know, Fifi or Nunu or some of them little stupid mouths. Little, I call them German Shepherd chunks is what they are, because that's what they are. German Shepherd just chunk that boy and eat him in a minute, you know. Got a little bow in his hair. It's just poodle out there. Big collop of fat on his hindquarters. white, nasty, fuzzy-looking thing. And she's out there walking this dog around the playfield. He's leaning up against the van smoking a cigarette. And I walked over and I said, "Excuse me, sir, can I help you?" And he goes, "No." I said, "What are you doing, bud?" He goes, "Letting the dog go to the bathroom." I said, "Sir, please don't do that. Honestly, now look at me. That's exactly how I said it." I said, "Sir, please don't do that. That's a play field for our children, and they come out and play in that field. And just don't do that. I'd appreciate that." He looks at me and he goes, "Don't you have anything else better to do?" I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do." I said, "Man, what'd you say?" He said, "Don't you have anything else better to do?" I said, "Sir, this ain't a latrine. This ain't a bathroom. Don't bring your dog over here to go to the bathroom on our play field. Please." He goes, "You really don't have anything else better to do, do you?" All that spiritual work was down the tubes, man. I said, "Hey, pal, how'd you like it if I get my pet gorilla and bring him over to your house and let him take a mess in your front yard? Would you like that?" Now, I didn't have a pet gorilla, but I'd go get one just to teach him a lesson. He says, "You really don't have anything else better to do, do you?" Oh, man, that was it. And it was all the Holy Spirit of God taking me in another direction from where I was that morning. I said, "You listen to me, sir. You get their stinking ugly dog and your woman and figure out which one is which and get them in the van and get them off my property." His wife comes walking up with the dog. She says, "What's the matter?" And he goes, "He's telling us to leave. I'm can't use to let the dog go to the bathroom." She goes, "Oh, typical church people." I said, "Get off my property. Get off my property. Get off my property. Get off my property. Nah." I picked up my briefcase. Boy, I headed back to the building. I always walk past the school so I can say hi to the kids. Little kindergarten kid walked up to me. Little toothy kid. "Hi, preacher." "Shut up, kid!" Walking down the hall. Heading toward my office, man. Walking down, I was going to preach. I was like, open the door. No calls. Throw the briefcase in the office. Boom, slammed the door. Went over and sit down at my desk. Got my Bible out. Lord, that was a waste of an hour this morning. I spent a whole hour getting ready for this day, and I got to start all over again now. Kill that sucker, God. But I want to see it. I want to drive down the road, see him leaning out of the van with that dog going to the bathroom in it in the back. I want to see that. There are people out there who get out of bed in the morning with your name on their lips and in their mind looking for you. Those people who get in front of you and drive slow. I'm for all these nationalities coming to America, but would somebody please teach them where the gas pedal is on an American car? Would somebody teach them to at least drive the cotton picking speed limit or get out the way? Just because you got nowhere to go and you're in no hurry to get there, pull that sucker over and milk it and get out of my way. I got places to go. I got things to do. I got a job. That's why they should put RPG, rocket propelled grenades, in every car. So you can pull it behind with those suckers. Woo, push the button. Right in the back seat and drive by and shake your fist at the burning wreckage as you go by. Then you go into a Walmart. And there's somebody standing there wanting a price on an item because they said it's 28 cents and the person said it's 22 cents. And I'm standing there thinking Jesus is going to come back and I'm going to be standing in line at Walmart over 6,000 cotton picking pennies. Here's a buck. Take it and run. Just let me out of this store. They're calling back to a department that doesn't even exist with people who don't even work there. "I want some ass. We're in a call line 14, please." And they stand there. Hey, they're getting paid by the hour. "Could you please? Jesus is coming. I just want my cookies and go home. Can you? I'll steal them. Let me out of here, please." You walk by and slap the greeter and go to your car. "Create a clean heart in me, oh God. renew a right spirit within me. Hey, people may give you a bad attitude, but if you keep it, it's your fault. That man got next to me. Oh, you know what's sad? 2 months later, I pull in the parking lot of the church. There's a different car over the back of the parking lot. And there's a woman there with a dog. And I got out of the car and I said, oh, come on. Lord, please. No, not getting that guy. I got to go over there, okay? I walked over and I said, please, ma'am. What are you doing? I'm letting my dog go to the bathroom. Yeah, I kind of thought that. Please don't do that. Don't you love dogs? Oh, ma'am, please don't do that. Please don't use the property for a bathroom. I'm trying to control myself. I get your dog on my stinking property! Now, I don't go into the office till noon. What's the point? Every morning, somebody's over there using the property for a bathroom. I'm going to see him lose control. You know, the truth of the matter is, look at me. So, especially some of you young people, you got a bad attitude and you've had it for years. How do you live like that? Well, you get upset, don't you, Pastor Johnson? Yeah, and it lasts about that long. Seriously. One good thing about a bad temper is you lose it and it's over. God help everybody around you, but you lose it and it's over. But I get it back. I don't go around upset. I use the illustration about the guy and the dog. It's funny to me now. If I had a gun, I'd have shot that sucker dead. Drug him in the church kitchen, put a butcher knife in his hand, and shot his dog and threw it on top of him and his woman. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to live that way. Look at me. Why do you want to live like, you know, you got a face on you where you look like you've been eating green persimmons? You got to get your spirit renewed every day. You go to God. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord. I want to have a right spirit. See, what is that? It's different than a bad spirit. It's the opposite of the wrong one. You get your spirit renewed every day. Number four, quickly. Every day, every day, every day, every day, you have to have forgiveness restored. Every day. I told you last night about my dad, how he's a Baptist preacher and ran off with one of the women in the church. And our life was difficult in a drunkard's home after that when my mother remarried a drunk. Look at me, young people. Do you realize my dad lives in the town where I pastor? Now. Has now for 12 years, 13 years? How longer? 15 years? The fires that are burning right now that are threatening some of our people's homes got near his. I called to see how he was doing. He never calls. Never. I've got two grandchildren. He saw one of them at our youngest daughter's wedding several years ago. He's never seen the other grandson. He never calls. Never. But years ago, young people, look at me. Years ago, I decided to forgive my dad. Here's what we think. We think forgiveness is a one-time thing where you just say, I forgive you, and that kind of makes it all go away. That's a speech. Now, those are just words. That doesn't help you with forgiveness. It's Matthew 18 where Jesus was asked, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Till 7 times. And Jesus said, no, till how many? 70 times 7. Now, without a calculator, you know how many of that is, Burns? 490. And it means 490 times per person, per offense. So, Brother Helms, this morning, I got it right, didn't I? I called you Nelms this morning. Brother Joe, I kidded you about your goatee this morning. And you still got it, right? Turn your head that way a little bit. Put your chin up. Okay, it's still there. All right. I kidded you about your goatee this morning. You got to forgive Brother Johnson for that. Did you? You really got offended, huh? Yes, you did. I saw the tears coming up in your eyes. That's one. I did it again tonight. That's two. Tomorrow, Joe, you know what I'm going to do? I recommend sitting in the back. But I'm going to come back there and find you anyway, so it don't matter. That'll be, let's say, three in advance, okay? Kind of like Catholic, pay for it in advance. Three. Now, that means Joe's got to get up to 490 times. And then he can hate me. Because Jesus said 490 times. So does that mean we're supposed to go around with a big, thick book? Let me see, Spanky. Justin, dude, you got red hair. Absolutely. And a terminal case of freckles too, Justin. Dude, you got a goatee going too, don't you? Little bit, turn your head, chin up. You should be sitting over there by Joel. Okay, that's one for me. So now he's got to keep record. Do you really think that's what God meant? Seriously. You know what he's trying to teach people? He's trying to teach them the practice of forgiveness. Where's my man Biscuit? Biscuit! Challenge Biscuit to a fist fight today. Wouldn't take me on, he knows. I whoop him like a redheaded stepchild, man. I'm telling you what, that's big time. You see, he's trying to teach us the practice of forgiving people. You'll never get to 490 times. You'll never get me to 490 times, Joe. See, I'm leaving Thursday. I won't see you again. But I'll probably see you somewhere down the road, and I'll go, you still got that goatee? And you'll go, there's another one. He's trying to teach us the practice of forgiveness. You get to you practice forgiving somebody 490 times for the same thing over and over again, you're going to let it go eventually. But that doesn't seem fair. You know, that thing about forgiveness, we're really funny about that. We think, that's not fair. They hurt me and I have to forgive them. That's not fair. You don't understand the wisdom of God here. Forgiveness is more for the forgiver than the forgiven. It's for your benefit more than theirs. And hey, folks, look, if you're waiting for that Oprah session where you get to sit there and they come and sit down and tell you all the stuff they did to you and why not and how come and you all cry and slobber all over each other. When you're done, it has not changed a thing. What they did to you, they still did to you. Don't you understand? Look at me. If you'll forgive, and you can by the grace of God, and I'll show you why in a moment. If you'll forgive, it sets you free. So my dad still doesn't want anything to do with me. So what does that mean? So you must not care about your dad. Any son wants to be right with his father. I don't care what kind of a dad he is. But there is not, God, listen to me, young people, look at me. God is my judge. There is not an ounce or a fraction or even a whisker of bitterness in my heart toward my father. Not a bit. Do you know why? Because it's forgiven. It's forgiven. I'm set free. It's forgiven. It's forgiven. I'm set free. I don't have a problem with my dad. Yeah, but if they would just come and what if they don't? Now what are you going to do? What if they die and you ever try to get forgiveness out of a coffin? You can't get forgiveness out of a dead person. What now? You're done for. You got a chip on your shoulder. You got a bitterness in your life and you'll never get rid of it. Never in your life until you're willing to forgive. See, the principle of forgiveness is not based on whether or not you can. The principle is, have you been forgiven? If you have been forgiven, you can forgive. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In that Matthew 18 parable of 70 times 7, Jesus tells about the man who was forgiven a debt somewhere near $250 million debt in one moment. Just like that. I mean, gone. Steps out of the door of his forgiveness where he received it, meets a friend, owes him $2. Give me that $2 you owe me. And his friend tells him, friend gives him the exact same speech he just gave himself. Only the man who has just been forgiven $250 million in his life couldn't find it in his heart to forgive a guy for $2. And he was delivered to the tormentors. He lost, right? Because he wouldn't give the forgiveness he'd received. Got it? So you listen to me. It's a $2 principle. Anything anybody does to you is $2 worth compared to what you did that crucified Jesus. And God forgave you, and it's $2 worth. It's just $2 worth. Young people. Yeah, but I still remember. Remember, it's forgiven. It's under the blood. Just like your stuff is. Under the blood, God forgave you, and God forgives. God forgets. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And he is willing to grant me forgiveness, I have to do the same. I want to do the same. And every day you go to God and say, God, help me to forgive. Last thing we need daily in our lives is we need to have proper love rekindled. Not that stupid stuff people talk about, well, I fell in love. No, you tripped over something and fell down. You don't fall in love. We get our idea of love and stuff from people who don't even know what love is. Love is a commitment. It's a dedication. It's a decision you make to be committed to somebody. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. You know where you get love? You get it from God. Look at me. That lady over there, my wife, this 33 years this year, I love that lady. I'm crazy about that woman. I'm insanely crazy in love with that woman right there. But every day, I ask God to help me to love her like I'm supposed to. So you having problems, Pastor Johnson? Not as far as I know. She probably got a problem, but I mean, I don't have any problems. You know, my grandmother's, all my people are from Oklahoma, all the Okies. We got all these Okie expressions. Happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. I don't know how a dead pig in the sunshine could possibly be happy. I'm happy because now he's going to be ribs and bacon and sausage and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, dear people, my wife and I, we got a great marriage. Everything's good. But I want to love her the right way. See, look here. That's why you have problems with each other, because you like people instead of love them. If you loved them like you should, you love them like you ought to, and you'll always love them. Charity never faileth. But that's not an accident. It is not even how you feel. Okay, look at me. I don't like most preachers I know. Now, I like these preachers. Well, Jay Reed, I don't know. I'm trying to decide about him. But I like Brother Smith. I love Brother Smith. But most preachers I know, I don't like them. I'm sorry. And I prefer not to get to know them very well, because the more you get to know some of them, the more you get to know them, the less you like them. Now, that's weird, and you probably shouldn't say it, but I'm saying all kinds of things I shouldn't say, so let me just add one more to the list. But the truth is, I don't have to like every preacher that I know to be biblically right. I have to love them, though. And I get that from God. There are people in my church every week, people in my church I know who have stabbed me in the back that week. And I don't necessarily like them. I'll even tell my church sometimes. I'll say, I don't like all you people. Isn't that weird? Because it keeps the neurotic people paying attention. They're out there going, is it me? Me? Is it me? And they go out the door. Were you talking about me, preacher? Yeah, it was you. Go on. You knew it was you. Come on, let's be real. It was you. But I don't have to like them all. Hey, give me that junk. You don't like everybody that you meet. There's nothing the Bible says we have to like everybody. If it is, don't show me, because you're going to mess me all up. But the truth is, we do have to love everybody. We do have to love everybody. And that's not about liking them at all. I don't care if they smell bad. I don't care if they walk in the room and the flies leave. I don't care. Look, I don't care if the Bible says, reading the Psalms this morning, they belch out with their mouth. I don't care if that's their life verse. They got more gas than Exxon. I don't care. The truth of the matter. Oh, that was terrible. I'm sorry. The truth. I add one more to the list. That one goes right in by the don't like people. The truth is, I don't have to like everybody, but I do have to love them. And I can get that from God. And I have to ask the one who is the author of all love, Father, help me to love my wife, my children, my grandchildren. Help me to love these dear people like I'm supposed to love them. I sit up here and get ready to preach. I look out at faces and I say, God, help me to love them. Help me to love them. Help me to love them. Because see, it's not about whether or not I like you or not. It's about whether or not I love you like the Bible says I'm supposed to love you. You put that with die to self, friends, you end all the problems in churches. People start loving each other like they're supposed to. Forget that hugging and squeezing junk. Don't hug me. Keep your distance. I'm sorry. If you're one of them hugging, squeezing people, don't hug and squeeze on me. Don't like it. Shake my hand, that's good enough. It's got nothing to do with whether or not I love you. I love you. Just don't hug me. It's got to come from God. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Every day, please, every day in your life, would you ask God, make yourself a short list of what we covered tonight, put it in the front of your Bible. Don't go down to that thing like, you know, you're chanting a mantra and you're some kind of Buddhist or something. And I got to die to self today and I yield to you today and today I'm asking me. No, just take a few minutes of your busy, active life. Get your ducks in order before you charge out into the day. And do it every day. And put one day with another day. You'd be amazed what difference it makes in your Christian life. Father, bless what we have heard tonight, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.